I want to talk about the joy of salvation. If you will, turn to Psalm 51. We're going to use several passages in this psalm. And this is a psalm which David wrote, most of it, and indicated he was repentance to God for his sin before God, of his sin with Bathsheba, particularly. You know, in our society, we have much unhappiness in the world. Therefore, we have the possibility of joy of our salvation in the world. You know, the early disciples in the book of Acts, if you'll look at the book of Acts, had glad hearts. In chapter 2 and verse 46, Luke recorded, "And they, the Christians in Jerusalem, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." So the early disciples had glad hearts because they had been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You look at Acts chapter 8, we see Philip produced much joy in the city of Samaria. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 8, Luke said there was great joy in that city because of the gospel, because the joy of salvation which those people received in that city. And then we see that there was another individual that rejoiced in the book of Acts, and that individual was a eunuch. In Acts chapter 8, verse 39, we see that the eunuch was reading Isaiah the prophet on his way back home. Philip had come and joined himself to the chariot by the Spirit of the Lord, and then Philip asked the eunuch, what he was reading. He's reading Isaiah 53, but he asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I accept some man should guide me?" And in the process, Philip preached Jesus to this man. And he was baptized. In verse 39, we see, "And when they," Philip and the eunuch, "were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." The joy of salvation that was produced in that man's life. Then there was a jailer in the book of Acts. Acts 16. This jailer had charge of keeping Paul and Silas in prison, but there was an earthquake. And the jailer thought all the prisoners escaped. And Paul said, "No, none of us have escaped." He was fixing to kill himself. Paul and Silas presented him the gospel. And the jailer rejoiced greatly in that he was baptized for the remission of his sins. In Acts 16 and verse 34, the Bible says, "And when he brought them into his house," Paul and Silas, "he set meat before them and rejoiced." He rejoiced in the joy of salvation, believing in God with all his house, the Bible says. So we can see the joy of salvation was evident in the early disciples' lives, in those people in Samaria, in the eunuch's life, and in the jailer's life. But we see also there's a book in the New Testament, the book of Philippians. It's an epistle or a letter of joy. So we see there is joy spread throughout all the Bible concerning the joy of salvation. The psalmist, as we look at Psalm 51, opens up to us the potential of the joy of salvation. We have the potential of the joy of salvation. David had sin in his life in Psalm 51, but he wanted to get rid of that sin. And he wanted that joy of salvation. We're going to look at 3 points tonight. We're going to look at, number one, what this joy of salvation produces. Number one, the joy of salvation is a recognition of the presence of God. And we can see that God's presence was with David. In verse 11 of Psalm 51, David says, to God, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. David said, I don't want God to leave me. I don't want his Holy Spirit to be withdrawn from me. David recognized now what he had done in his sin with Bathsheba was wrong. And now he's recognized that he's away from God. Because God had a personal interest in David. David was called a man after God's own heart. God invested his interest in David because he wanted David to be the king of Israel. He didn't want Saul to be the king of Israel. That was the people's decision. God wanted David to be his leader of his people. Because God had a special love for David. And God showed his love for David in his life. But God is also a God of loving kindness. He's a God of loving kindness. We see this in the life of David. We have an example of this kindness in 2 Samuel chapter 9. When you get time, read the whole chapter. But in summation, the chapter was this. The chapter talks about this. David showed kindness to Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, and he was lame on his feet. He was a lame man. David told Jonathan's son that he would show kindness to him for Jonathan. Because you see, Jonathan, Saul's son, was a real good friend to David. But then he told Jonathan's son that he would show kindness for Jonathan, his father's sake. And this David did. Because the Bible says that he said he would restore to him all the land of Saul that Saul had. And he would be able to eat bread at David's table continually. So David had a personal interest in this fellow, in Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. And we can see that David knew about the loving kindness of God, because he had loving kindness. In verse 1 of Psalm 51, we see David said, told God, according to thy loving kindness. According to thy loving kindness. He says, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, he says, blot out my transgressions. And then we see in that verse that God is a merciful God. David knew that he truly repented to God concerning his sins. God will have mercy upon him in verse 1. He said, have mercy upon me, O God. He knew that God could help him. He knew that God could help him in any way in his life. But he had to make the first step. He had to acknowledge to God his sin. He had to tell God, I've sinned. And I'll need your mercy. I need your loving kindness. And in that, he said, he knew that God would be merciful to him, a sinner. God is also a righteous God. He's a righteous God in the regard that he shows righteousness to people who want to do right. To people who displease him and then turn around and recognize their sins and try to get right with them. In verse 14 of Psalm 51, you see David said, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. David knew that he had to make it right with God, and he knew that then he could get that sin away from his soul. Because you see, that sin was ugly. That sin was blotting his soul, and it was making him feel miserable after he realized what he did. And he knew that God, being a righteous God, would remove that sin if he would take the initiative to repent and to tell God that he wants to do better. That he doesn't want to do that anymore. Because sin is basically against God. When we sin, we displease God. We are against God. We've chosen not to walk down the pathway that God wants us to walk. But we have chosen to walk contrary to the law of God. In verse 14, look what David said. Against thee only have I sinned. He took full responsibility for his sin. And done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He said, I have only sinned before thee. It's only me. It wasn't anybody else. I'm the only one that needs to repent to you because I want to get rid of this. I want to get rid of this transgression. I want to get rid of this iniquity in my life, that I might be justified before you, God. That when I approach you in prayer, I want to be clean before you. And I want to be, and when you judge me, I want to be sure that I am in the right relationship with you. God created man to glorify Him. That's why He created us here. We're sitting here tonight because He created us to glorify Him. When we sin, we're missing the mark of God's law. We're missing the mark of what God really wants us to do. So we ask the question at this point in the lesson, what is your relationship tonight before Almighty God? Do you have sin in your life that you know that you need to get rid of like David did? And you know that you need to get your life right and before God? Tonight, do you sense the presence of God in your life? David said in verse 11 of Psalm 51, cast me not away from thy presence. Cast me not away. He said, I don't want to be separated from you, God. Because David says, as a leader of Israel, I need you. I need you to help me in leading these people, thy people Israel. And he says, I need the help of God, and we all need the help of God. And in needing the help of God, we see that we need His presence. And we don't want God to separate Himself from us. But we have to be in the right relationship with Him. We have to be close to Him. As the song says, closer to thee, near to thy side. So we have to have that joy of salvation in that knowing that the presence of God is with us. In the second place, we can see the joy of salvation is the joy of forgiveness. The joy of forgiveness. We see in verse 7 of Psalm 51, David wrote, purge me with hyssop. Now, the hyssop is the leaves and the heads of the hyssop plant are used as a spice. Now, David is using this in connection with cleansing from the defilement of his sin. He said, if you will help me from the defilement of sin, I shall be clean. Wash me. And we see that talks about washing sin from his soul. He says, I shall be whiter than snow. I will be in the right relationship with you, God. He said, this is what I want in my life. The joy of forgiveness of Almighty God. You know, when children do something wrong and the parents correct them and the children see that what they've done was wrong and they say to their parents, they're sorry. But when that is taken care of, it makes the children feel so much better. It makes the parents feel so much better that the children have acknowledged what they did was wrong and the parents have forgiven them. And they've learned from, the children learned from that event. This is what David did. He learned from the event of the sin with Bathsheba. He thought, as king of Israel, he could have anything he wanted, which he could. And he wanted this man's wife. And he took her. But he put her husband on the front line of battle to be sure he'd be killed in battle. But we see the joy that David wanted and physically didn't materialize. Therefore, he needed the joy of forgiveness. The joy of forgiveness comes from the realization of the seriousness of sin. David realized he indirectly committed murder and adultery. David called his problem in Psalm 51 and 1. He said, blot out my transgressions. So he called his problem transgressions in verse 1. He had been rebellious against the law of God, because the law of God, the law of Moses, said to the that adultery was wrong. Murder was wrong. And he knew he was guilty. He knew he was guilty before Almighty God. In verse 2, he said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. He knew he had iniquity. He knew he was separated from God. His problem was iniquity then, wasn't it? He had gotten his life out of focus before God. It was distorted. It was one of them. He was in a mess. He was in a mess spiritually. He was in a mess in his mind and mentally, because he knew that what he wanted to do was not right. But he was in iniquity before God. And he asked God to wash him thoroughly from his iniquity. Then we drop down to verse 3. Verse 3 said that, he said, my sin is ever before me. His problem was what? Sin. He had missed the mark of God's law. The sin which we commit in our lives are ever before us. The only way we can get rid of them is truly repent of them and ask for the forgiveness of God. That the blood of Christ in the New Testament will wash away sins. This is how we can get rid of our sins tonight. We can miss the mark just like David did in our lives. Because the deepest note of this psalm is in the realization he had basically sinned against God. Because in verse 4 he said, he acknowledged, against thee, thee only have I sinned. He didn't say it was Bathsheba's fault. He didn't say it was any if his servants' fault. He said it's my fault. It's my fault. Because you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. We see Paul says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation not to be repented of. Godly sorrow worketh repentance in the person's life. That this individual would be truly repentant of his or her sin, whatever it is before God, and God can forgive those sins. He said, but there's also another type of sorrow. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. The sorrow of the world is not repentance. Sorrow of repentance. Like the sorrow of God. Godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. Oh, how we learn how to be, what to do to get rid of our sins in the Scriptures is godly sorrow. And we can be repentant of these sins for our salvation. Now God's sacrifices are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. In verse 17 of the psalm, the sacrifices of God or a broken spirit, and broken and a contrite heart. The sacrifice in the original Hebrew, put the phrase, the sacrifices for God, means those who observe me. Those who recognize God. Those who recognize God in their spiritual state of sin. And then those who repent of their sins and have submissive hearts unto God, will God accept. Not the proud, not the haughty, but the ones who are repentant and submissive in their attitude toward God. What's the desire for forgiveness? David said, blot out the sin. I want you to blot out my sin. Verse 1, he said, blot out my transgressions. Verse 2, he said, blot out all my iniquities. He said, I want you to blot out. Because David looks unto sin as a debt on God's ledger. And he wants God to blot it out from his life. Then he says, and look down at verse 7, he wanted God to wash him. He said, wash me. Wash me. Literally in the Hebrew, this means trample me. It was a method of washing by which stains were removed. And he had the stain of sin, and he wanted the sin to be removed from his life. And David asked God to wash him. He couldn't do it by himself. It wasn't physical washing, it was spiritual washing. And he knew God could take away the sin. And then we see in verse 2, he asked God to cleanse me. You know, really, there's no equivalent word, or a word in English, which really that we can look at that you can't see like the original Hebrew. The original Hebrew literally means unstain me. When it says cleanse me, unstain me. I won't get rid of my stains. You know, get stains in clothes, remove them. Put stain, remove them, wash them, remove them. That's what David wants. He wants his heart, his soul, to be unstained before God in verse 2. But number 3, the joy of forgiveness is also the joy of a clean heart. Verse 10. Verse 10 of Psalm 51. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. I want you to create in me a clean heart that I will be ready. I will be obedient before you. Because joy and happiness is basically a condition of our hearts and minds. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We see that Solomon said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Look at chapter 23 of Proverbs, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. But, he said, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. He says, as a man thinks, or as he reasons in his heart, so is that what he produces. He says, but if he thinks about this eating, drinking, about the material things of life, his heart is not in God. You know, guilt does not burden a clean heart. Fear does not control a clean heart. Doubt does not disturb a clean heart. A clean heart is a steadfast heart. It's a heart that will serve God under any conditions, whatever comes. A clean heart is a willing heart before God. It's a submissive heart. You look at Psalm 51, verse 12. It said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, said David, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Create in me a clean heart, verse 10. And then he asked God to restore. I want to be like I was. I want the joy of your salvation. I want to have your free spirit. You know, it's a happy day when one becomes a child of God. It's also a happy day when we remain faithful to Almighty God. Then we bravely face the distresses of life in our lives. You know, there are a lot of things in our lives that will try to bring us down. Sin brings us down. But we're serving God. Our way up is serving God, but sin brings us down. And there are a lot of things in our lives that are distressful and try to separate us from God. From a Bedford jail, John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. He was in jail. John Milton, while he had physical blindness in his life, wrote Paradise Lost. By death on the cross, Jesus saved the world. You and I tonight. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love, said John. He's the one that talked about love. Not that we love God, but He loved us. And sent His Son to be the propitiation or take our place on the cross for our sins. That's what Jesus did. That's what David says. He wanted this joy of salvation. Do you have a clean heart before God at this hour? Is your relationship to God right? If you don't have a clean heart in your life before God at this hour, then your relationship might be stained with sin. You need to repent of that sin tonight. You need to come forward, and if publicly, you need to make a public repentance. If it's private, you need to go to God privately and ask for forgiveness. Maybe somebody that you've had disagreement with. You need to go to that individual and talk to that individual that you can be. And then go to prayer. God will forgive you those sins. But also, if you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, God wants you to do that. He wants you to get rid of that sin. He wants you to have the joy of salvation, such as David said. And David, you know, David was very relieved after he had repented of this sin, and that God had forgiven him, and he had a clean heart. So tonight, as Jim leads us in this invitation song, if you need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we encourage you to do this right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?